If you would please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. We're going to consider some things that that are reminders of to us. I think one of the reminders we have to remember, one of the things we have to remember is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again one day. He's coming back to take us to heaven, to resurrect the dead Christians who are in the graves. Their physical bodies are in the graves, and we'll all be reunited. And I think we normally and typically think of the Lord coming. We think of that viewpoint in our Christian lives, as well we should, that the Lord Jesus is coming back again. But have you ever considered the viewpoint when the Lord comes? What's going to be going on in the world at that time? I think we have to consider the fact that when the people look at when the rapture does occur, the coming again of the Lord does occur, millions of people around the world will disappear at the same time. Can you imagine? I was talking to my wife just a couple. She went in the kitchen and she disappeared. I don't know what happened to her. My husband was sleeping in the bed, and I came back, and he was gone. And, we can think of a dozens and hundreds of scenarios that take place on the earth when this incredible event happens. Think about the chaos, the turmoil, the upheaval that's going to take place in the world when the Lord Jesus Christ takes millions of his people out of this world to heaven. It's an event that's never happened in the history of the world. It's unprecedented. There's nothing in the past that we could go back to and relate to. That's how incredible this event's going to be. And we may think in our own minds, this is a good time for the people of the earth, for whoever's left in the world. It's about time that they understand what the rapture is, and they'll be reminded of what the rapture is, and they'll believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and be saved. That's not going to happen. We read in the Scriptures that the Lord will send a strong delusion, and that people will believe a lie. It's sad. It's sad. And we don't know what that lie is going to be. I mean, perhaps maybe it's, some spaceships came from outer space and just abducted all these people, took them up in the spaceships and took off. That sounds logical. I bet you that's what happened. People will believe a lie. They won't believe that Jesus Christ caused this incredible event. And we would hope that they would believe the word of God, but they're not going to do that. People are left in the world. And as we live in this life, as we look forward to the Lord's coming again, what do the Scriptures teach us about our attitude that we should have in our own Christian experience as we wait patiently on the Lord's return? What should we be doing? What are some of the things that we should be thinking about? And we're going to look at just a minute here at Luke 21. Let's look at Luke 21, verse 34, verses 34 through 36. These are the words of the Savior. He says in verse 34, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." First of all, verse 34, the Lord is saying, take heed to yourselves. That is, think about what's happening. Think of what I'm saying to you right now. He says, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Now, that word surfeiting, I wonder how many of you know what surfeiting is. I know I didn't. I had no idea. That's an old English word. It means being overburdened or depressed or weighed down. The Lord Jesus is saying that are we going to be overcharged? Are we going to be weighed down? Are we going to be depressed and overburdened while we wait on the Lord's return? I think that it's easy to be in that position, isn't it, brother, sister in Christ? Sometimes we get depressed, don't we? Sometimes the things of this world, this life, it just weighs down on us. And we could feel the burden. But you know, that's what the Lord's telling us not to do. He is telling us not to be overburdened or weighed down. Because He is coming back. He's coming back. He also uses that word drunkenness. Now, we're not talking about going out to a bar and getting drunk. This word means self-indulgent. Why are we waiting on the Lord? What are we thinking of? What are we doing? You know, being self-indulgent means that we are our lives centered around us. It's I, myself, and me. It's my needs. It's my life. It's my job. It's my money. It's my house. It's my car. All of these things, they're mine. And I'm going to indulge in anything I want to, anytime I want to. I'm going to be self-indulgent. Are there believers, are there true believers in Christ out there that are self-indulgent? Certainly. Certainly. Their whole life centers around themselves and their needs, not the needs of others. Just the opposite of what our blessed Savior would teach us, isn't it? He also says in verse 34, he uses that phrase, the cares of life. The cares of this life. And you know, there's a lot of cares that we have to endure. There's a lot of heartache out there, isn't it? A lot of discouragement, a lot of depression, a lot of burdens, as I said before. These things, unfortunately, if we spend too much time in them, will block our fellowship with the Lord and block our fellowship with one another. And the Lord Jesus is telling us, don't be caught up in these things. Don't be caught up in the cares of life to the exclusion of the fact that I am coming back again to take you to heaven, my dear child. And when we sometimes are overburdened, we are self-indulgent, we take too much time in thinking about the cares of this life. You know, I get wrapped up in that. I lose my focus. I lose my concentration. As Brother Gill would tell you, you know, if you're going to play in a basketball game, you've got to have focus and concentration at all times. All times. In the Christian life, it's easy to lose our focus and concentration. We lose the focus of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming for us. Well, Earl, that may be 50 or 60, 100,000 years from now, you know. I mean, we don't know. Well, that's true, brother, sister in Christ. But I would remind you and remind myself the fact that even though we're undergoing these burdens, even though we have to participate in these heartaches, even though there are trials awaiting us and we have to go through, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. When He does, and He does take us to heaven, we won't have to endure those things anymore. Our lives will be at complete rest. Complete rest. So, you know, The Lord Jesus is saying in verse 34, don't be overcharged with surfeiting. Don't be overburdened. Don't be self-indulgent. Don't spend so much time on the cares of this life. And in verse 36, he says, watch ye therefore and pray always. Watch and pray. In other words, when we watch, we're keeping awake. We're attentive. We're on our guard. We're expectant. We're expecting the Lord's return. and we must understand the times, and we must believe that God's plan is being carried out in our lives and in our world by Him. I know you've been following all the events and the turmoil and the upheaval that's happening in Egypt. It seems like it's spreading all over the Middle East, North Africa. We are concerned about the religion of Islam, the strides it's making. Billions of people in this world claim to be Muslims. And we can think about these things, and we can worry about those things, and we can lose our focus and our concentration on the fact that we must watch for the Lord's return. By the way, if we have a large influx of Muslims, that means that's an opportunity for missions, isn't it? That we can present the gospel to. But the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, be awake, be attentive, be on guard, understand the times. And he says at the end of verse 36, and we will stand before the Son of Man. Someday we will stand before our blessed Savior. And we will see Him. We will see Him. He also says in verse 36 that we should pray always. The Apostle Paul said, brethren, pray for us. Paul also said, pray without ceasing. Be in an attitude of prayer. How many times have we prayed today? I was in an attitude of prayer regarding this message all day today. There are certain things that are going on in the world. There are certain things happening in our lives that we should be aware of. If there are unsaved people, we should pray for them. If there are suffering saints out there, we pray. If there's a missionary in need, we pray. Pray always. Watch and pray. You know, prayer is our direct communication line to the Lord. You know, that's how we communicate with Him. That's how He communicates with us. Think of all the prayers that have gone up today and all the answers that God has given people, Christians around the world. Think about that. And the Lord Jesus Christ gives us an invitation to pray. That verse in Hebrews that we know so well, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. The invitation of the Lord is for us to pray. We not only watch, we're not only aware of what's going on, we pray as believers. And let's remember, you know, I've missed some days where I forgot to pray. And I look at the end of the day or the next morning, I say, Lord, you know, I forgot to pray today. I got wrapped up in my own life and what's going on there that I just forgot. And I have to go back to the Lord and make things right. So, brothers, sisters in Christ, let's watch and let's pray always, always. Well, the Lord Jesus has given us some things to think about in those three verses. But there's a question we may answer. Where can we go in the Scriptures to see how we ought to live until the Lord's come? Where can we go to look at some character traits, that some behavioral characteristics that you and I should have in our own Christian experience as we're waiting for the Lord to come? Well, let's turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. A passage that I think most of us have memorized. A beautiful passage. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What wonderful words that is. Those are. First of all, in verse 11, it says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation, God's unmerited favor, that's what we're talking about, God's grace, is God's unmerited favor. In other words, God gives us something we don't deserve. That's the grace of God. And it brings salvation. Salvation can basically be summed up in the fact that we have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. That's salvation, basically. And that has appeared. The grace of God that brings that salvation has appeared. Now, how has that salvation and the grace of God appeared? Well, through the person of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is not only represents our salvation, He is the one who got it for us, who gives it to us through His grace. He's the one who has appeared, and it says at the end of verse 11, hath appeared to all men. Every person in the world has an opportunity to be saved. Every person in the world has an opportunity to hear that wonderful message, that glorious gospel of our blessed Savior. That salvation has appeared in this world. People may scoff at it. People may ignore it. People may ridicule it. People may make fun of it. But yet it's there, always there. The cross of Jesus Christ is always before the people of the world. When they come into the Lord's presence someday, there will be no excuse. No excuse. So we see that the grace of God, God's unmerited favor, brings salvation, forgiveness of sins, and eternal life. It has appeared to all men, to everybody in the world. Now in verse 12, we see some things. As we wait for the Lord's return, we see some things we shouldn't do in verse 12 and some things we should do in verse 12. One of the things we shouldn't be doing in verse 12 is we should be denying ungodliness. In other words, we don't indulge in ungodliness. Well, and ungodliness is the opposite of godliness, isn't it? People push God out of their lives. They don't think of obeying Him. They kind of put God in a corner. They put a blanket over Him so they won't have to think about Him. So that's a good way. That's a good way. We push the Lord in the corner and we won't have to think about or occupy our minds with God or with the Lord or Jesus or the Bible or prayer or going to church. Is it possible for believers in Jesus Christ to be ungodly? Yeah, it is. It is. It's possible for believers to live a life of ungodliness. God forbid. Those Christians are not here with us tonight. But they are out there. There are believers out there, but sad to say, that they pushed God, the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior, whom redeemed them, they pushed Him into a corner and thrown a blanket over Him. They ignore Him. They're disobedient to Him. They go their own way. They're living lives of ungodliness. But we should deny those things. It also says that something else we should not engage in as we're waiting for the return of the Lord is worldly lusts. Worldly lusts. To live a life loving the things of the world. And John said in his epistle, he said, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Those are pretty strong words, aren't they? He also says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Brother, sister in Christ, the world, the things that we see in the world, this world system, which is controlled and dominated by Satan, it's going to be eradicated. It's going to be done away with someday. It will cease to exist. And while it's going on, while we're in this world, there are Christians who are wasting their lives, sad to say. And I'm not saying that to condemn them. I say it sadly. There are Christians who are or love the things of the world. And their love for the Lord Jesus Christ is gone out. The flame has gone out in their heart. They have no love for prayer, no love for the scriptures, no love for other believers. And Paul is warning us that we should deny these things, ungodliness. We shouldn't participate in worldly lusts. These are some of the things we should not do as believers. Well, what are some of the things we should be doing as believers? Well, the first thing that he mentions in verse 12, we should live soberly. Soberly. Now, soberly doesn't mean that the Christians are come across as a real pale, drawn face, and they got this big frown on their face, and they don't smile, they don't laugh, and it looks like they're not having fun. They're not enjoying life. They look miserable. You know, that's what being sober is. Well, that's not what that word means. Sober here means to be self-controlled and temperate. Self-controlled and temperate. One of the things I learned after I was saved, if I don't have self-control, before I knew the Lord Jesus Christ, I didn't have self-control. But when the Lord Jesus came into my life and the Spirit of God indwelt me, I had control over myself through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, is it possible for Christians not to live soberly and not exercise self-control? Well, certainly. But you know, that should characterize our life. If we live soberly as believers, we are self-controlled and temperate. You know, that's what God expects out of. Look at the life of the Lord Jesus. Was he not a model of self-control? He was provoked by so many people. He was held up to ridicule by so many people. People tried their best to cause pain and misery to him. But yet he was always self-controlled. Another thing that we should do as we're waiting for the Lord's return, one of the things that we should do as we're living is to live righteously. That is being upright, doing the right thing according to the Word of God. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had a decision to make? And sometimes these decisions come real fast. It's not a lot. Sometimes we don't have a lot of time to think about it. And you know, over here I've got to make a decision to do right over here. And if I don't do it right over here, I'm going to be this wrong over there. And I've got to make up my mind right now. I've got to make a decision in my own mind of what I'm going to do. Should I make the righteous decision in my own mind and do what the Lord wants, or should I just give in? You know, and sometimes we reach some of these things, a point in our lives where, you know, we don't have time to think about decisions. We don't take a week or a month or whatever it is to pray about it and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes these things come into our lives quickly. And what are we going to do? Are we going to live these things? Are we going to make the righteous decision? Or are we going to be upright in our conduct and behavior? Or are we going to give in and disobey the Lord? Something for us to think about. Another principle or another word that Paul uses here to encourage us to live and wait before the Lord comes is godly. Godly. Being devout. Or as the Amplified Version said, and I like this, spiritually whole. I like the way that is rendered. Spiritually whole. You know, I've always believed that the Christian life is a life of balance. You know, we don't go to one extreme in our doctrine. We don't go to one extreme in our conduct and our behavior. You know, we don't come over here and start believing these things. And we don't come over there and start doing these things that are extreme. They may be out of the will of God or whatever. We're balanced. you see. We're godly. We're devout. We are spiritually whole. You know, that's what God wants us in our lives. That's how we should conduct and behave. And, you know, I think it's easy for us or for other believers or for us to get out of balance sometimes. Sometimes we get hung up on a particular doctrine or instruction in the scriptures, or sometimes we want to do a certain activity and it occupies our mind and. But you know, living for the Lord, being obedient to Jesus Christ in our lives, it requires balance. We should be spiritually whole. We should be godly. The opposite of ungodliness. Well, these are some of the things that, some of the characteristics in our conduct and behavior that we should exhibit before the Lord comes. But in verse 13, Paul closes out this section, these three verses in verse 13. He says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is not only our Savior, He's our God. He's our God. The deity of Christ is seen so clearly in verse 13. And the blessed hope, that word hope for us as believers, it means a sure expectation that our Savior will come. This is not the type of hope the world has. The world has a hope of, well, you know, I hope things work out and I hope for this and I hope for that and you know, this I hope this thing is that I'm doing is going to be okay. And do you have any hope for the future? Well, you know, I hope the future works out. Well, you know, brother, sister in Christ, that's not a whole lot of hope, is it? That is not what we call a sure expectation of things that will happen. You and I as believers, as we live in this life, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly before the Lord and before one another and before the world. Because someday the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and we should be looking up because He's coming. Praise God.